And we're going to start something new this week. And this isn't going to be a long sermon series. Obviously, if we're going to be doing Not a Fan starting in August, we only get 4 weeks to put into this. But that's okay, because there are really only four sermons that fit into here. We're going to talk about faith being on the run. And I'm not talking about faith that's running to something. I'm talking about faith that is running something or from something. You see, the reality is that we're going to look at four different people, and all these four people had something in common. They ran. God came looking for them. They're restored, and then, well, God used them. And I guess the first question we better ask is, why is this important? I mean, here are these people that, well, they lived a long time ago. Why do I care if they ran and how God used them and what God did with them? And the reason this is important to us is because it's all about our goal for 2014. Do you remember those little goals? Now, I'm not talking about the little circles. I'm talking about the goals we set for ourselves at the beginning of the year. We had three of them, all having to do with going deeper. We wanted to go deeper in His Word. We wanted to be able to get into God's Word a little bit more, so we've added some studies and done some things differently to kind of get people more interested. We wanted to go deeper in a relationship with Him. So we've added some prayer times, and we've done some different things to encourage people to have some private time to get deeper with Him. And of course, we wanted to go deeper with each other. So we started praying for each other, and we tried to do some things that get us into people's lives. And it just is all about going a little bit deeper. But you know what the reality is? We want deeper faith, but for some of us, before we can go deeper, we're going to have to stop running. For some of us, well, we've kind of gotten our faith off track. We're spending more time avoiding God than seeking Him. We're running. And the sad thing is, perhaps we don't even realize that we're running. We've been doing it for so long, we're just running. But here's what I want you to know. Our God, well, He's a God of first, second, third, fourth chances. He'll give chance after chance after chance. As long as you have breath in your lungs, God is willing to give you a chance to stop running and turn toward Him. At some point, you simply have to stop running. At some point, you simply have to put it all on pause. And so that's what we're going to look at over the next few weeks. And this isn't going to be complicated. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go ahead and give you the sermon outline for all four sermons, because they all are going to follow the exact same pattern. We're going to look at four lives, and every week we're going to ask the same five questions. And here they are. Who are they? Why did they run? How did God pursue them? How did He restore them? And how did God use them? Every week. So you can go ahead and plan it out. That's what we're going to be doing for the next 4 weeks. We're going to answer these five questions for four lives. And we're going to begin with, go down Moses. Moses. He's one of those guys that, I bet you when I just say his name, you all have images of him. For little kids, they probably are more familiar with the Prince of Egypt, with the drawings. For older folks, you know what image you get, don't you? Charlton Heston, raising and parting the Red Sea, right? That's the image that you get. You get him on the mountain with the little fire coming down, right? That's the image that we get. Everybody knows something about Moses. But I want you to take a look at who he is. And his story is found in Exodus, but I want you to turn to the book of Acts, because Peter gives a great summation of Moses' life split into three specific parts. So I'm going to be reading from Acts chapter 7, verses 23 through 25. When Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his own people, the Israelites. He saw one of them being mistreated by an Egyptian, so he went to his defense to avenge him by killing the Egyptian. Moses thought that his own people would realize God was using him to rescue them, but they did not. So Moses' story is one that we know very well because of the movies, but Moses started out as an Israelite, but there was an edict going out that they were going to kill all the babies, so Moses' mom put Moses into an ark and floated him out there into the river, and of course he was found by the Egyptian princess. He went to live in the Pharaoh's castle, and all things were good until Moses was about 40. It took Moses a while. But when Moses was about 40, Moses began to identify himself more with the Israelites. So the first thing we want to see about Moses is he was indeed born a Jew. That's an important fact to remember. He was Jewish. Even though he was raised in a foreign household, he was Jewish. He was given up to save his life. Not only was he given up to save his life, he was again, like I said, raised in that Egyptian household so that he was raised with all of the knowledge and all of the wisdom, all of the schools. He got everything. But here's the thing that I bet you didn't realize about Moses. See, oftentimes we get this messed up. We think Moses got his calling at the burning bush. Did you catch the back part of that little verse in Acts? Moses thought that his own people would realize that God was using him to rescue them, but they did not. Before Moses ever ran off to where he was going to be, Moses knew. Moses knew God was going to use him for the people. I miss that fact a lot in Moses' story. Now, Moses didn't do things right. As a matter of fact, Moses decided to take things in his own hands. And we want to answer the question, why did Moses run? Acts chapter 7, verses 26 through 29. The next day, Moses came upon two Israelites who were fighting. He tried to reconcile them by saying, "Men, you are brothers. Why do you want to hurt each other?" But the man was mistreating the other, pushed Moses aside and said, "Who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday?" When Moses heard this, he fled to Midian, where he settled as a foreigner and had two sons. Now, here's what you need to know about why Moses ran. He never really accepted his life as an Egyptian. He didn't. He never desired to be in that Egyptian household. And so he watched his people suffering. You know, I know we all have people that we've sat in our lives that we love very much, and we watch them suffer through their last days. And that's hard. Can you imagine being a person that you're living in a castle and you're being fed well, but the people that you know are your brothers and sisters, they're being abused and mistreated every day? That's what Moses was doing. And so Moses decided to take action, and he saw an Egyptian mistreating an Israelite, and guess what he decided to do? Okay, I'm going to show them I am a leader, and I'm going to kill the guy that's doing the abusing. That'll show them, right? I'll take things into my own hand and do it. Of course, Moses ended up having to flee for his own life. And here's the amazing thing. Moses fled, and he became a shepherd. Exodus 3:1. Now Moses was tending flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And I point this out because a lot of times when we think of people running from God, we think of people that are just constantly on the move. People that are going from here to there to the other place, and they're just running, they're trying to avoid God. Notice what Moses did. Moses did run because he knew what he was supposed to be doing. But he became afraid for his life, and he ran down and he became a shepherd. He kind of settled in. He found a good job. He found a wife. He didn't forget about God because he settled near the mountain of God. He understood what he was supposed to be doing. But he just kind of settled in. He just became comfortable with his life. Had a couple kids, had a good job, had a stable income, everything was good. Or was it? Because the reality was he wasn't doing what God called him to do. And I bring up this point because I think this is the way a lot of us run sometimes. We just settle. I wonder how many people we have in the world that are doing a job, and they're doing it, and yeah, they're making ends meet, and things are all good. They've got the house and the car and the fence and the kids and all the things that are supposed to be there. But really, they're not doing what God designed them to do. They're not fulfilling their purpose. Nothing's changed in their life. They're just comfortable. That's a somber thought, because many of us go home and we're just comfortable with our lives. And really what we are, we're running from God. So Moses didn't get to run very long because, well, God pursued Moses. And this is a story we're all familiar with. We all, again, have images of this. But let me read the scripture to him as God pursued him. I am in Acts chapter 7, verses 30 through 33. This is how Peter described it. After 40 years, now I want to pause right there. You realize it took Moses 40 years to figure out that he was not supposed to be living as an Egyptian, but supposed to be living as a people of God. So that took him 40 years. And then God let him sit there down in Midian and basically get comfortable for 40 years. So those people that think that God can't use you after you retire, Moses is 80 years old by the time he is standing in front of that burning bush. Let that sink in for a second. 80 years old, God is going to Moses, hey Moses, you know that thing I have for you to do? We ain't done yet. 80 years old. We always get the picture of Moses being this young buck when he goes back down. Oh no. Moses is 80 years old standing there at this bush. An angel appeared to Moses in the flames of the burning bush in the desert of the Mount Sinai. When he saw this, he was amazed at the sight, and he went over to get a closer look. He heard the Lord say, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Moses trembled with fear and did not dare to look. Then the Lord said to him, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. I have indeed seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their groaning and have come down to set them free. Now come, I will send you back to Egypt. Can you imagine what Moses' face probably looked like? God, have you lost it? But I want you to see how this call worked, because this call began with God's concern for his people. He told Moses in that bush, I have heard the cry. In Exodus chapter 2, verses 23 through 25, it reads, during that long period, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out their cry for help because their slavery went up to God. God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob. So God looked at the Israelites and was concerned about them. See, God didn't forget what he was doing. Sure, Moses went away, and Moses went down there, and Moses got comfortable, and Moses became a shepherd, and Moses picked an alternate career path for himself. Moses decided to ignore what he already knew he was supposed to be doing. Moses decided, but God still heard the concern. So, he called Moses. Exodus chapter 3, verse 4. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here am I. God gives Moses a physical call. Go back to Egypt. Lead these people. And I got to tell you, I think I'm a pretty smart individual most of the time. Don't ask my wife. She has a completely different opinion. But I think I'm a pretty... And I think if God had shown up to me in a burning bush and called out, Barry, Barry, go do this, I think I would have just went. Don't you? Well, maybe I'm not as smart as I think. Because you see, Moses didn't just go. Moses didn't say, okay, God, you got me. I'll leave the wife and kids. I'll leave them behind. I'll leave the sheep and I'm going to go on down here. No. Moses did exactly what we do when we're on the run. Moses made excuses. And I want you to look at these excuses, because he didn't miss a single one of our excuses when he was talking straight to God. And this is where he started. Lord, I'm not good enough for what you're asking me to do. This is what he said. But Moses said to God, can you imagine just looking right at the bush saying, God, maybe you've forgotten something. Let me fill you in. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? God, I'm not good enough for this project. Lord, have you forgotten I'm a wanted man back in Egypt? Lord, have you forgotten? Been there, done that. I done tried to lead these people before, and all they did was ridicule me. Lord, I'm not good enough for what you're asking me to do. Don't we tell God all that same thing? God lays upon our heart to reach out to one of our neighbors and talk to them. Lord, I'm not good enough for that. Lord, I'm not good. Don't you know all the things I've done in my past? Don't you know what my life looks like? Don't you know what a mess my life... Lord, I'm not good enough for what you're asking me to do. We're not that much different from Moses. Not only did he say, I'm not good enough, he said, you know what, Lord? I don't know enough. Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? And what should I tell them? Lord, I can't go lead these people. Lord, I can't do what you're asking me to do. I don't know enough. Lord, I can't name all the books of the Bible. Lord, I don't know enough scripture. Lord, I can't quote enough things. Lord, I don't even know what to tell them your name. Lord, I don't know enough to talk to these people. Go talk to my neighbor. Are you kidding? What if they ask me a question I can't answer? Lord, I don't know enough to do what you're asking me to do. Sound familiar? Moses sounds a lot more like us, doesn't he? How about this one? I'm not persuasive enough. Don't we tell God this? What if they do not believe me or listen to what I say? The Lord did not appear to you. I can't go talk to these people. If I go talk to people, what if they say, prove it to me that Jesus is real? What if they say, prove it to me that your life has changed? What if they say, I don't even know who? What if they ask me questions? Lord, I'm not persuasive enough. I'm not a good arguer. Lord, I can't lay out the case. Lord, you need to find somebody else that can do this, because really, you knocked on the wrong door, God. I can't convince people to do anything. How about this one? Lord, I'm not skilled enough. Chapter 4, verse 10 of Exodus. Pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither more in the past, nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and the tongue. Lord, I stutter when I get nervous. I don't talk so clearly. God, don't you realize you're asking me to do something you didn't make me to do? Lord, I don't have the skills. I don't have the abilities. Doesn't this sound kind of like church? Ministry opportunities come in front of us every single day. People that need the Lord. Things that need to get done in the church. And aren't these the same excuses that we give today? Moses hit all of them. But you really know what Moses' reason was, don't you? Here it is. I'm not willing. Listen to the verse right after that. Verse 11. Pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else. Now I want to tell you something. He's standing on holy ground. He realizes he is looking into the burning bush, and who is speaking to him is the great I Am. And Moses has the nerve to look at God and say, please send someone else. I'm just not interested. We wouldn't do that, would we? How many times have you heard the Holy Spirit in your life? We've made the same thing. He's given us that burning sensation to do something for God. And after we make all the excuses and we've done all the things, and we just finally look at God and say, you know what? I'm just not willing to do that, Lord. You're just going to have to find somebody else. And I love what happens next, because God said, all right. It says that the Lord's anger burned against Moses. I wonder if the bush got brighter. Because the Lord became angry with this idea that Moses is just not willing. After all God had done for Moses. After all, Moses didn't have many kids in Israel that were his age, because guess what? They all got killed. Moses had been protected. Moses had been raised with the best education so that he would know enough. Moses had been given the job as a shepherd so that he could learn how to lead. Moses had been given a godly father-in-law, and Moses had been given a godly wife, and he had been given sons and a family, all from God. And now to look at God and say, I'm not willing to go meet those people? He said, God's anger burned at him. I wonder how many of us God's anger burns at today. Be because he's given us a mission. He's given us a something to do, and we're just not willing to do it. So here's the question. How was he restored? If you have your Bibles, yeah, I like to make you flip your Bible. We're going to do that a lot during this series. So get ready to flip your Bibles here. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 through 28 read. This is talking about Moses' faith. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as a greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him and him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the application of the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. Notice that word that Moses had, faith. That's what restored Moses. Moses was restored by his very faith. Moses did go down to Egypt. Moses did look Pharaoh in the eye and say, "Let my people go." Moses led them. But I want you to see the steps in his faith, because you know what? His faith, he was restored by following the example of his parents. That's what it said in Hebrews. It's the very first step. He looked at the sacrifice that his parents made for him, and he decided that God valued something much more for his life. It says that he was restored by choosing the people of God over the pleasures of this world. That's a good way to stop running. He made a conscious choice to be identified as a person of God rather than Pharaoh's grandson. That's giving up an awful lot. It said that he was restored by conquering his past. And this is a big deal. We've talked about dealing with our past and the past. But look at what Moses had to do. He did go back to Egypt. He did face Pharaoh. And you know what? This time when he left, he left victorious. He left with a million some Israelites following right behind him, not in fear. He accomplished exactly what God wanted him to do. He was restored by following God's instruction. I want you to note this, even when it didn't make sense. I'm sure it didn't make sense to Moses going back to Egypt. In the years that Moses would lead the Israelites the first time and the second time to the promised land, a lot of the things that God asked him to do didn't make sense. But Moses followed them step by step by step by step. Sometimes that's all you can do to get back into God. Sometimes that's the only way that you can stop running, is to just follow the instructions step by step by step. Sometimes blindly. So, what about Moses? What did he do? How did God use him after he was restored? Well, we can kind of make the litmus test, but let me just kind of take the big highlight. He parted the Red Sea, that picture that we're so used to. He received the Ten Commandments. It was Moses that went up on that mountain and got to watch God write those commandments the first time. He led the people to the door of the promised land, not once, twice. Remember, it only took a short while to get from Egypt to the promised land the first time. Then they decided they wouldn't go in because they didn't have enough faith, and so they wandered for, guess what? Another 40 years. You think Moses got tired of these 40-year anniversaries? Another 40 years they wandered. So by the time Moses got back the second time, don't miss the math, he's 120 years old. So if you think you're done yet, you're not. At least not unless you're past 120. Then we'll let you have a seat. Other than that, God's got a mission for you today. It says he worked miracles. And here's the funny thing. This murderer, this guy that nobody wanted anything to do with, this guy that nobody wanted to follow, think about during Jesus' ministry. How many times did the Pharisees challenge Jesus by saying, "Well, Moses said, well, Moses wrote, well, Moses did." Moses became the pillar. Yeah, they were the children of Abraham, but they were the people of Moses. He became known as a pillar in the Israelite faith and in our faith. How did it happen? Well, Moses had to make better choices. See, in Moses'
early part of his life, that would be from 0 to 40, Moses didn't make great choices. Moses chose to do things Moses' way. Moses chose to take some shortcuts. Moses tried to convince people through power. Notice it wasn't until after he started choosing things God's way that he actually got off the line. That he actually got on the path to doing what God wanted him to do with his life. So let me ask you something. How many of you here today are sitting at where you are in your life? You've got things that are keeping you away from being a follower of Christ just because of some of the choices that you have made in your life. You know, the good news is, God won't always remove the circumstances, the choices, the bad choices, the reasons. But today, you can choose to start going back in the other direction. I find it funny that God never told Moses, I told you so. Even after he convinced God to let Aaron go with him because Aaron was good at speaking. And remember, that caused Moses all kind of trouble because Aaron's the one that built the golden calf. Aaron's the one that challenged Moses' leadership at one time. Aaron caused Moses all kinds of problems because Moses was unwilling to take the mission on his own. I got to tell you, if I'd been God, every time Moses came and complained about Aaron, I think God would have snickered and said, well, if you'd done it my way, you wouldn't have this problem. God graciously let Moses do exactly what Moses wanted to do. And when Moses decided to choose God, that's easy. That's incredible. Let me ask something. You're going ready to start making some better choices in your life. And you realize when you choose something, you have to unchoose something. If you've chosen to get comfortable in your life, it means you have to make your life more comfortable. It means if you've chosen to things a certain way, you may have to stop doing that way and do something different. See, getting off the run from God, letting your faith stop running, letting your faith start standing, means choosing God. We're going to do a power decision, and that's what we're supposed to do. What are you going to choose? Not just sitting right here at this moment, but maybe you're feeling a little guilty and things are running through your mind. What are you going to choose when you walk out the door? What are you going to choose the next time your opportunity comes up and God lays something on your heart that needs to be done? What are you going to choose? You going to choose the free burning bush roses? Making the excuses? Telling God all the reasons you can't do what he's called to do? Are you going to choose the post burning bush roses and just think about it? Maybe then you need to draw that line. Maybe you're here today and you've never accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You don't know what it means to have a relationship. That's a choice. Come on forward. You can help you understand what it means to make that choice. Maybe you need to pray.